Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and yours truly, your host, Link Flores. It is a crisp and cool January 14th, 2026. Hello and how are you? Thank you so much for joining the podcast. As always, thank you for all the wonderful Patreon supporters who are helping support this work. I appreciate you very, very much. I'm super grateful to you and to everybody who's listening, sharing, popping over to Patreon, of course, to send your emails, comments, questions. I love that. Thank you very much. Do some more of that. I'm looking forward to reading some more. This week is, this is pretty, I don't know what to say. Every week gets progressively weirder. I mean, not even just on Earth. I mean, it's particularly in the United States. And as of now, we've all heard so much regarding the murder of Renee Nicole Good in Minnesota this past weekend, or this past week or so. And there's a lot of supposition, but there's a lot of fact and video evidence that's out there. And we're going to get into all that in just a minute. So I just wanted you to know right up front, we're going to talk about it. It's going to be a thing. If you're not into it, you can skip forward. I'll leave a note, I guess, at some point to let you know when we get to the silly ha-ha stuff. But I want to get this heavy stuff out of the way because there's stuff we need to talk about and there's stuff we need to discuss as a community, just of individuals, not just people listening on the podcast, but people listening around the world. And we do have the good fortune to have some listeners from overseas, from various countries. So thank you very much for tuning in. I appreciate you. I want to talk about these kinds of issues because I think that they're not just singularly American issues. I think that they're issues that affect all of us on a broader sociological spectrum. You know, as a community of human beings, these are issues that pop up, and we're not unique in these instances. It's just the way that it's happening that feels very uniquely American. And that is both a... it's mostly a bad thing. Let's just be honest. None of this stuff is good. None of it feels great. And none of it is fun to talk about, but we're going to try our best to push through this because I feel like if we turn our backs to it, we turn a blind eye to it, and we pretend that, like, you know, it doesn't bother me until it bothers me. Comedian Josh Johnson actually said the thing that I've been saying for a while, for a very long time actually, is that, you know, it's easy to kind of like kick the can down the road. It's not my problem, and it's not my problem, and it's not my problem, and it's not my problem until the day that it is your problem. And you're like, but what about? And everybody's like, you didn't care when it was us. You didn't care when it was them. You didn't care it was those handful of folks right there. So why should we give a shit about you now? And in a bizarre way, that kind of feels like what America's dealing with, you know, the lack of empathy that not necessarily specifically Americans, but certain segments of American, and unfortunately some of the loudest segments of American culture and our American population have voiced via social media, in the political spectrum, you know, just in media and whatnot. It's elevated to a level that they're the smallest, of all of us, they're probably the smallest full-blown group of people. But they're so loud, and they're so always on everything and in your face that it gets hard to ignore, and it also gets hard not to conflate that group of idiots with the vast majority of decent, law-abiding, compassionate Americans. And I can understand that. I can appreciate that, because as an American, I've heard narratives spun about other countries and other peoples and other cultures that I've had to parse myself and go, well, how much of this is actually true and how much of this is propagandist bullshit? So I'd encourage you, if you're listening from other countries, to kind of take some of what I'm going to say with a grain of salt. And I hate the term do your own research, but do actually kind of look into multiple, you know, whether it's a legacy media outlet, if it's an independent journalistic publication, or a Substack, or, you know, a website that you trust, like a site like Really American, or a YouTube channel that you follow, like the buddy Reese Waters, or Keith Edwards, or you know, just any number of people, the Midas Touch group, like any of those folks that you see and you feel like you can get a kind of a cross section of all the different spins on a story, and somewhere in the middle of all those, there's the truth. As you start to see more things kind of stack up, it'll hopefully become clear to you that most of us aren't these assholes that you're seeing on television. So, I guess without further ado, I'm going to dig into this. Like I said, we've all heard Renee Nicole Good's name in the media, no matter who you are. I think unless you don't have access to the internet, a television, or a radio, I mean, I figure even if you get your news by semaphore, you probably heard her name. And I say that only to kind of reinforce this next topic that I'm going to speak about. And it's not to diminish or any way downplay the tragedy that is the murder of Renee Good, but it is to illustrate a certain certain all too common occurrence, particularly in American media, but in media as a whole. About a week or so before Renee Good was murdered, another man in California, by the name of Keith Porter, whom you may have heard about just recently within the last couple of days to a week, was also killed by an off-duty ICE agent. There's a couple of reasons why this story didn't gain as much national and international attention. And some people are going to say, well, it's not exactly the same kind of situation, which is true. Renee Good was murdered by an ICE agent while she was trying to protest ICE's terroristic activities in the Minnesota area, and was shot in cold blood while trying to turn her vehicle away from the barricade and escape ICE, who were actively trying to open her car door and drag her out. Mr. Porter, on the other hand, was celebrating the New Year. As is a custom, if you're anywhere near a major city center, or especially if you're around, you know, black or brown cultures, and even, you know, no matter what, if you're an American, basically, guns are a big part of our culture, for better or for worse. They're here and here. They're not going anywhere. A lot of places, they fire guns off into the air to celebrate the New Year. While not technically legal, obviously, generally speaking, there's no harm in doing such a thing as long as you're like out somewhere where people can't get hurt or an accidental discharge won't be fired into a crowd. And don't believe the hype. The idea of a bullet coming down and piercing your skull is some shit that's cooked up for television. It's long since been debunked that firing rounds into the air, when they fall back down, they have about the same effect as somebody dropping a pebble on you. It's going to hurt, but it's far less likely to kill you. And it's mostly untrue. I'm not going to say it's totally false. Let's be real about this. It's not totally false, but it's patently way more false than it ever has been true. But that's what Mr. Porter was doing with a bunch of other community members. They're firing at guns into the air. And this officer in California decided that he was going to come outside and, you know, kind of put the boots to people. And approach Mr. Porter and claim that Mr. Porter fired at him. And that's when he shot Mr. Porter and killed him. So there's a difference there. And the difference is not in the instance, but it's in the intent behind the shooting. In the one instance regarding Renee Good, you could almost... Well, you can't actually, I mean, it doesn't actually hold water, but you can understand why someone would make the argument that that ICE agent was acting within the realm of the scope of his responsibility, right? Like, he was there doing an enforcement action, as they're calling it. It's really, you know, basically just kidnapping and terrorism, but I digress. But while he's performing in that capacity, he perceived that Renee Good was trying to hit him with her vehicle, which is, one, untrue, as she turned away from him instead of training her wheels towards him. And then the other thing is that he stood in front of the vehicle, which means he's either simple, stupid, or slow. You pick one. That means he's an idiot, or he's a terrorist and a murderer with a badge. You got to pick one of them. He can't be a competent officer That's one of the things they've tried to spin is like, I mean, he served in the National Guard and he was part of the firearms training, the firearms training crew for ICE. And, you know, he's supposed to be a competent shooter and all this other stuff. Well, you know, which one is it then? Is he a competent officer with training and military, you know, background that has like a, you know, clean, clear head on his shoulder? Or is he a guy who was traumatized by being dragged behind a vehicle in June when he attempted to break the rear window in affecting the detainment of an undocumented person who is trying to escape him and who he tasered through the window? So this guy has a habit of trying to break into people's vehicles and taser them or shoot them. And he's also kind of a dumb fuck because, like, why would you go in the back door if somebody's let him drive away? This is not an action movie. What the fuck were you thinking? You're not, you know, Chow Yun-Fat, which we'll mention later, who we'll mention later. You can't just be shooting through windows at people. This is not the movies. The only fortunate thing, I guess, is that he's not dead, so we can actually prosecute this asshole. As a, not only just as a judicial system, but as a society, we can prosecute him here. We can prosecute that case by looking at the videos, reading the testimony, seeing his own self, his other agent's cell phone video, body cam footage, all that, as well as eyewitness video from the shooting. And you can see for yourself, like, as horrific as it is, this guy was out of, he's out of control. This is also the same individual, like I said, by the way, on top of all that, just seems to be a real firebrand of an asshole. Let's not forget, this is a thing that they tried to sweep under the rugs, but we're going to say thank you to the good folks over at The Guardian for also calling out that this guy, Jonathan Ross, who shot Renee Good in Minnesota, he's kind of a turd muffin in his own right. And I'm just going to pull the news article here so I'm not misquoting this. I didn't want it to seem like I was just vilifying this guy just for the sake of it because he's an ICE agent, which is also, in my personal estimation, a red flag for anybody. But yeah, he in 2022 was criminally convicted for sexually assaulting his 16-year-old stepdaughter. So, real stand-up guy they got there. A convicted sex offender working for ICE. Smooth. Real good look. That's the kind of guy you want on your streets, right? You know, working for Immigration and Customs Enforcement. That these are the kind, this is the moral fiber of the person that you're looking at right here. Okay? So, you know, whatever your Pornhub fantasies aside, like, this guy is certifiably a piece of shit. And yeah, they've been trying to spin this narrative that, you know, he was acting within his training. Your training tells you to stand in front of a vehicle that's moving and fire rounds into it while there's other innocent bystanders. And if you didn't give a fuck about the bystanders or protesters, other ICE agents around who could have been hit or injured by that vehicle, you know, could have been, you know, grazed, could have been knocked down, could have been run over, whatever. When you shot that driver and she lost control of the vehicle, you put a lot of other people and property at risk. If it hadn't been for her getting, you know, her vehicle hitting the tree and the vehicle that she hit, unfortunately, before as she's passing on, she could have driven into somebody's house. She could have run over somebody who's just walking down the street and had nothing to do with this. We're not thinking about that, though, are we, Republicans and MAGA assholes? And I'm saying Republicans, and you know who I'm talking about. These super ultra conservative asshats who just won't back the blue when it comes to making sure the people who stomped on the Capitol Police during January 6th riots go to jail. They'd rather let Trump pardon them. But now, you know what I mean? Now, like, we gotta stand by them. Like, why is there a different set of standards for this? Anyway, I'm kind of swimming off off the stream here. Like I said, you could almost see how they would make the case that Jonathan Ross is working under an enforcement capacity, and in that regard, that he was defending his life or whatever. Fuck, it's a real, real big reach, and you need like a ladder and one of those little elastic grabby hands to make that connection. But I could see how somebody might try to do so. Whereas in the case of Mr. Porter here, Keith Porter was just a guy hanging out. This ICE agent does not have a law enforcement mandate. Unless there is a reason for him to actually be, one, on duty, which he was not, he was off duty. Two, to be carrying his, you know, government-issued sidearm, which you're not supposed to do when you're off duty. And three, to engage another citizen in any kind of discourse in the capacity or under the guise of law enforcement, with which he had no mandate. You just went out there to start shit. And now, Keith Porter is gone. And his family is bereaved. So those are the differences there. Both of them do stop, though, at two ICE agents who are just doing shit they ain't got no business doing. Let's put it that way. They had no business doing what they were doing, whether it was deemed to be in official capacity or not. Discharging your firearm into a moving vehicle in the middle of a crowd of people on a public street, you know what I mean? It's not like it was in an alleyway or anything. Like, you're on a residential street. If one of those rounds had ricocheted and hit somebody in the crowd and injured and killed them, would he be held liable for that as well? Or we just could give him a pass because he's a nice agent. And the other reason, and the one that's going to be the most glaringly apparent, is that Keith Porter is a black man and Renee Good is a white woman. Let me be real clear about this. Neither one of those lives, in the reality of an ethical, moral human being, is worth more than the other. Renee Good had just as much right to be alive, eating cereal on her fucking couch right now as Keith Porter. Both of their lives are equally valuable, right? You want to say all lives matter? Then let's just be real about why all lives matter is bullshit. Because y'all are just finding out about Keith Porter pretty much the way I found out about Keith Porter, almost 2 full weeks after he'd been murdered. We knew about Renee before the sun went down that day. The conversation I've had with other people in my friend and family groups is, and it's an uncomfortable one, but it's a reality and we need to stop being blind to it. If there's anything good that can come out of this, it's that hopefully this will lead to not only the arrest and punishment of the officers who are murdering people, but also the breakup of this ICE enforcement agent crew, who are basically just a bunch of masked goons and thugs who are out to, you know, terrorize black and brown people and to cause chaos in the communities in which they set their feet. I can only hope that that becomes the case, as the rest of us can feel that way, you know, like, hey, I wish they were gone too. We can't actively affect that outcome without actually getting our hands into the process in some way, shape, or form. Whether you're donating to, you know, Keith Porter's GoFundMe, which I want to see if I can find and put into the liner notes as well. Renee Good's family, to their credit, when their GoFundMe exploded, they cut it off. They're like, we're done. We appreciate all the outpouring of love, but this is way more than we needed to take care of the children, you know, for the wife that is now bereaved to take care of this, handle Renee Good's final expenses, and to move not on, but forward. And they were like, please, we encourage you to donate to other causes, to other people who have been maligned by ICE, who have been killed by ICE. To legal defense funds that go to support and, you know, fight for the rights of these folks who have been, you know, wrongly and, you know, in a lot of instances, illegally detained and arrested by ICE. But I'm going to put Keith Porter's GoFundMe in the links so that if you want to go and donate, you can. You do that for yourself if that's something you feel like you should do. You know what I mean? But I had the conversation, a very real one. I was like, unfortunately, and we spoke about this during the protests that were happening over the last year or so, particularly surrounding the issues of immigration and customs enforcement overreach and police brutality. This isn't black and brown people's fight. Y'all ain't gonna like to hear that. I don't give a shit. It's just what it is. Black and brown people did not create this system of... they did not create the system that's predicated upon ethnic and racial biases that impact us the way that they do. We didn't start this. We didn't create this. This is a problem that was created from the very inception of our country. It's so systematic that it reaches even further back before the creation of the United States. Again, we mentioned the gentleman, Tim Wise, and if you haven't looked up his YouTube channel, I'll see if I can find it and drop that there as well. Drop it in the links, in the notes and whatnot. But you should be checking out some of these deeper conversations because they do affect the way that the conversation is shaped in media and the way that conversation is shaped in our society and in the halls of government. This is actually happening. And it's been happening for a while. And it's just because with the proliferation of cameras and internet and interconnectivity, it is one of the good things about it is that we're able to see this kind of bullshit when, you know, our media and our government try to lie to us. The real funky thing about it is the more they lie, the harder it is to keep track of all those lies. So it ends up being that people will say stuff and then they get, you know, they stumble over their own words. They double back on things that they, positions they held, comments they made, stances they'd taken when it came to, you know, voting on a certain issue a certain way. And one of these things is, you know, how they don't support Donald Trump for a while. Then they get into power. Now they're all, Trump's our guy. And then they don't believe that the people who assaulted the Capitol police officers on January 6, 2011 were very fine people or whatever. And they look at them and go like, yeah, these guys were domestic terrorists. But now protesters who are saying ICE is doing bad stuff. We need them off our streets. We don't want you here. They're domestic terrorists because they're standing there with bells and whistles. You know what I mean? Or they block the street with their cars. That's somehow domestic terrorism. Shooting a woman in the face 3 times, not domestic terrorism. Smashing Capitol police officers to death, not domestic terrorism. Standing on the side of the street with a bell in your hand and a whistle in your mouth and a sign held in your, over your head, get them. Lock them up. Shoot pepper balls at them. Throw tear gas canisters at them. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. It's really distressing that it's a thing that we have to talk about. Because here's the fucked up part. While Renee Good and Keith Porter, rightfully so, do have GoFundMe accounts, guess who else does too? Jonathan Ross. The guy who shot Renee Good has a GoFundMe, and GoFundMe has had it up. I haven't checked as of this time of this recording. I didn't get a chance to, but people were giving money to him too. The real problem with that is GoFundMe does not allow you to create a GoFundMe account for somebody who is seeking legal defense for a violent crime. And the other thing that was fun about this was it was not created by somebody who has a personal relationship with Jonathan Ross, just some random person. So it's essentially just a scammer, right? And I'm not saying that Jonathan Ross has any real connection to this. He may or may not. I don't know. But we do know that the person who created it doesn't have any real relationship with him, and they have no tangible way of, you know, getting in touch with him. So they're scamming, and these idiots who are out there, like I said, a fool and their money are soon parted, right? They're just handing it off to him, to whoever this person is who decided, I'm going to get rich off these idiots. Look, by the time GoFundMe gets around to realizing it and cuts it off, they may stop this flow of money from going out. But if they don't, somebody just walked off with a couple of G's of some handful of idiots' money. And I think it's a shitty thing to do, but hey, if you got money to throw away like that, go for it. You could have been on the bright side of history and just maybe, you know, if you weren't going to donate to Renee Good because she's a human being, or Keith Porter because he's a human being, and they were victims of murder, as opposed to the murderer, then I guess you deserve to lose that money. And that's how I feel about it. I mean, you got it like that to throw away. I mean, you could have just donated to the Patreon. But, and the reason I was saying earlier why black and brown people need to stay out of this because we didn't create this thing, but also we just end up being targets. We just end up being more target practice for them. And the more black and brown faces in there, that's all it's going to take is for somebody to be like, you know, that South Park defense. He's coming right for us. And then before you know it, another handful of brown people gone. It's not that we don't have a vested interest in this fight. Far be it for me to say that. If anything, it affects us probably the most, but it's also the reason why our faces can't be out there on the front lines standing there holding signs, because we're the first ones to get pepperballed in the face. But the thing that came about with Rene Goode's murder, another thing that kind of, I don't know, it's not necessarily a good thing, but it does shine light on a very true thing, something I've said for a long time, and so have many others. They don't care about you. This Trump regime, and that's what it is basically a borderline dictatorship. This administration does not give a fuck about any of you. We see it right now. Black or brown, man or woman, you know, black, brown, white, man or woman, rich, poor, whatever. I mean, if you get in the way, you're going to get got. The cruelty is their cause. Their only purpose for being out there is to be cruel and to intimidate and terrorize people. And in that regard, they're doing a lot of what they said they were going to do. The problem that they're going to have is eventually enough people are going to fight back. And I've said it before, just because we've seen history work, right? We're not stupid. We can look back at the history books. We can look at documents. We can look at video. We can listen to audio. Once a regime starts to hit a certain breaking point with their population, the population fights back, and it's never pretty. We're seeing that now with Iran, who are, you know, Orange Julius Caesar is, I stand with the citizens of Iran. Make sure you take down this government and this regime. Remember the people. Why do they deserve your patriotism and not the people who are right here, who pay the taxes? You know, the people who work in our shops, in our schools. You know, why didn't the police officers in D.C. deserve that same respect? Or the National Guardsmen that you've deployed illegally to other cities to try to quell uprisings, when really what it was just a bunch of people saying, hey, this is fucked up, stop doing it. It's a protest. There's a difference, dickhead. They don't deserve... What does Iran have... that we might bet, oh, that's right. Iran has oil reserves. Interesting that Venezuela also has oil reserves. Yeah. They had to get Maduro out of there, right? Got to hit Nicolas Maduro out and install his vice president in because she's also a big fan of Trump. Couldn't go with the opposition leader, though. The lady who kissed your ass when she got her Nobel Peace Prize and you didn't. Nope, that was not good enough for you because you did lose to that woman, basically. And even though she kissed your ass by dedicating it to you, you were like, eh, not good enough. You should have delivered it to me. We don't support it. You don't have the fans. You don't have the groundswell there. Oh, really? Okay. The lies about, you know, how the Venezuelan people are so happy Nicolas Maduro is gone. I'm sure they probably aren't thrilled. You know, I mean, I'm sure they're probably not thrilled. They might be like, oh, he's good. But now they've got this other lady in there. What is her fucking name? I was just looking at it earlier. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me, mainly because old boss, same as the new boss, right? New boss, same as the old boss, however the saying goes. But yeah, if it doesn't benefit Trump, it doesn't matter. And you don't benefit Trump as an individual, as an American citizen. Unless you're handing him millions of dollars, he doesn't give a fuck about you. And there's no clearer case than shooting a white woman in the face on national, basically what ends up being a nationally televised video. You just shot her. Now wife and her children are without, you know what I mean? And maybe we didn't get televised footage of Keith Porter being shot. That's another American citizen gone. the daughter who has to sit there and mourn him, a family who has to figure out how to move on without him. Doesn't matter though, right? Because, you know, it's an enforcement action. We're within our rights. And I remember hearing this earlier. It was people talking about, you know, say her name. All right, this whole thing about that, I made a note about that because I had a conversation about it. And people like, you know, that is a phrase that Black people kind of coined to elevate the voices of Black people, particularly Black women who were murdered by the police in illegal actions. And we've seen some of those people actually become, you know, get arrested and, you know, tried and arrested and, you know, convicted. But Say Her Name was designed and created to elevate those voices, like I mentioned earlier, that normally would just get swept under the rug. Had it not been, unfortunately, for Renee Good being murdered this past week or so, we may not have ever heard about Keith Porter for months at a time. We might have wouldn't heard about him till summer. And so when I've heard people say, like, say her name, I'm like, nah, you need to keep that phrase out your mouth. It's not that she's not important, but everybody knows her name. Not for nothing, she's a white woman. That's actually one of the things I was saying is, like, it's actually, unfortunately, the benefit of it is that it does bring other crimes like this to light. And it does show that this regime does not care about anybody. It doesn't care if you're Black or white or male or female or trans or gay or straight. It doesn't care if you're Christian or Muslim or Buddhist or Jewish. It does not care about any of us. So the only positive the only real positives I could think of would be that her murder actually does bring to light a broader sickness that exists within this regime and within this administration and within ICE to just further drive home the point that they don't care. No lives matter unless they're white lives for them. That's really what it comes down to. And it's unfortunate to even have to say it, but you have to say it because otherwise people think it's, you know, that she's being swept under the rug. She's not. There's news outlets from across the entire world reporting on this. She's not going to be lost in the sauce. Like I said, you didn't even, some of you may not even heard Keith Porter's name until just now when I mentioned it. That's how shuffled that was. And that happened December 31st, 2 weeks ago. And the only reason we know about him is because of what happened with Renee Good, which is fucked up. But it is a thing that happens. And we have to be cognizant of that. And we have to appreciate the fallacy behind it for what it is. You have to appreciate this is how it's going to work. And when I say appreciate, I don't mean like we have to be grateful for it, but we have to appreciate that, when it comes to the conversation, we know they're going to do this kind of stuff. Maybe more recognize is probably a good word, but that almost seems a little too soft. And we can recognize something without actually, you know, taking it into account for how it affects us as a populace, you know, as individuals even. It's so crazy that that's a thing that has to be said. I also don't like the idea of saying taken before their time. I think I actually prefer to see it taken before my time, because I think that also, in a way, it kind of softens and diminishes the impact of a person's passing. And this isn't just relegated to the conversations we're having now regarding these two murders. I'm saying when anybody goes. I think that if we say, you know, someone was taken, so-and-so was taken before my time, instead of taken before their time, it almost diminishes their death in a way as like, they had so much more to do. Or whatever. It's like it's only like they're only valued for what they could provide while they were here. Or, you know, it almost seems lazy because it doesn't really acknowledge the impact of the person totally. In some instances, you know, you can make an argument that like, yeah, you know, it's they're taking before their time because they had so much more to give, so much more to offer. You know, there was so much more experience they could have had and whatever. Like, but we gotta really, I think, to drive the point home, they're taking before my time because I wasn't done with them yet. I wasn't done loving them yet. I wasn't done learning from them yet. I wasn't done just basking in the glow of the light that they had because they were alive. You say what you want. I just, I just have a little, and it's a minor issue, but I just thought about that earlier. And I'm like, I have a minor issue with that because it feels like it's not honest enough. That's probably the better way to say it. It doesn't feel honest enough. You're taken when you're supposed to go. That's the way I see it. It's kind of a fatalistic view, but I feel like once you're gone, and that's the point. But I'm not ready for you to go yet. So I feel it's more honest if I say you were taken before my time because I deserved more of you than I got. Like I said, this is a rambling-ass podcast anyway, but that's just a thought that I had. You can tell me what you think in the comments, or you can message me at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Don't worry, it is free to join, so you can just go over there and send me an email. I'd appreciate it. And if you are paying for the Patreon, thanks, but still, anybody can email me over there. I'd love to hear your thoughts, because I can't just be the only one who thinks some of this shit. And even if I am, I'd love to hear what your thoughts are, to the contrary, or whatever they are. I'd like to have a more open discussion about it. But yeah, that's kind of what I've been struggling with over the last couple of days, weeks, like all of us have. And I got this really interesting post that I've read, and I'm going to read it to you because I don't want to fuck it up. And it was posted by somebody who posted it from somebody else. So I'm not going to have to, I'm not attributing it to anyone. It's just somebody told me that somebody told me that somebody told them. They said, it would be a shame if the protesters began making their signs out of 1/4-inch thick plywood to stop rubber bullets, or forming a tight shield wall to prevent police from singling out and mobbing individual protesters. It would be a shame if the people behind the shield wall held up umbrellas so that tear gas canisters fired over their heads on the front line will be bounced away. It would be a shame if protesters began constructing improvised armor vests out of duct tape, hardback books, and ceramic tiles. Yeah, it would be a shame if protesters started wearing safety glasses, hard hats, respirators, and gardening gloves, all of which can be found at the same hardware stores as the plywood mentioned earlier. It'd be a shame if they started using traffic cones, kind of out the hole at the top, upside-down buckets, and other improvised lids to contain tear gas canisters by placing them over them. Yeah. It would be a shame if protesters learned that police scanners are legal to own in the United States, allowing them to learn where the police are moving and what routes they intend to take. It would be a shame if they discovered that these scanners can be used to send as well as receive, allowing them to flood the scanner frequencies with all kinds of irrelevant noise. All of this would be a terrible... terrible shame. You can make of that what you will. I'm going to pause for a moment. I'll be back with, hopefully, the good news. Okie dokie. Let's get into it. American football. Yep. Wild card weekend's pretty much all wrapped up in a bow. And then there was one. Oh, in a real heartbreaker of a game. The Jacksonville Jaguars, who I was really pulling for to win their wild card spot, just barely got snuffed out by the Buffalo Bills in a 24-27 battle, literally battle to the end. The hardest thing for me is watching these kinds of, you know, divisional games, wild card games. It's so tough to watch because while I don't have, like, you know, not money on the game or anything like that, I'm not invested in stocks or any shit like that. But just as a fan, I really just want to see a team like Jacksonville, like, do great. And I think that, like, in large part, they were hampered by, like I said, it's just some really... Something about the youth and exuberance of the team was partly its strength and also its weakness. Because while they were out there and they were willing to try new things, this coach has them fired up. You know, this Coach Cohen has them fired up and ready to go, willing to experiment offensively and defensively, willing to take the extra hits. It also does lead to a little bit of extra, you know, a little bit of extra boil to the blood. So they're pushing and shoving and getting in fights and, you know, face mask, like just penalties and yards lost after the fact, I think have hampered a lot of Jacksonville's ability to go farther than they did. But I got to give it to the Jacksonville Jaguars for putting on one hell of a show all season long, Closing out the season this way, I feel like, especially after like clinching their spot into the AFC South, like just about there, and it was like, man, they were so good. And I feel like it does add an extra level of excitement for next year, though. Like, there was enough groundswell, I think, within the team and the organization. I mean the players. Within the team and the organization and as a whole, that like they're like, yeah, we've proven that we deserve to be here. We've proven that we can be contenders and we belong. And I'm really hopeful that like they pull it together. They don't take this with their tail between their legs. They go up, you know, heads held high. You guys did a great fucking job all season long. I'm personally proud of you. You gave me a reason to believe. I'm looking forward to next year. You come back out and do it again and do it better. I believe in you, Jacksonville. You got this. Sad news also, the Pittsburgh Steelers got eliminated by the Houston Texans in a rout. I didn't see that game. I saw the score, and I'm kind of glad I didn't watch it. Houston over Pittsburgh, 30-6, just a full-on kicking. I don't even know what to say. I really don't. Like, I mean, the Texans were a damn good team. They've proven themselves to be, as much of a problem as Jacksonville has proven themselves to be for their opponents. They just got the better of the Steelers. I think maybe it could have been, I don't know if it injuries or penalty. I don't know. I couldn't even bring myself to watch the game. I was just like, I ain't got it. I ain't got it, dog. But the one bright spot in all of this is that the Chicago Bears are coming back. They're starting to look like they've had some up and down years over the last like 6, 7, 8 years. And it looks like Chicago's starting to finally build a franchise that's, you know, not going to be an embarrassment to the city or the fans or themselves. They're still on the struggle bus a little bit, coming out with an 11-6 record going into this week on Sunday against the LA Rams, who are 12-5. And they've got a pretty good away record as well. Chicago, slightly better record when they're at home. But the Rams are nothing to snooze on. And I'm going to be quite honest with you guys. This one's too close to call. Too close to call the game. Yeah, man. I got nothing for this. I got no juice on this one at all. I got no idea what I'm looking at here. I want to say that the Rams are, I mean, they're not a bad, I mean, obviously they're not a bad team. I'm just kind of curious. It's like, are they, like I said, with that away record, they're 5-4 for their away record. So the Bears are 6-2 at home. It just makes me wonder, like, do they really have the metal, you know what I mean, to take it all the way? And I feel like there's some teams that they've lost to that, like, why? Like, why? You know what I mean? Like, what's the narrative? Like, let's say, I mean, not all of them. And they've beaten some great teams. Like, they beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. I remember that shit. But I believe this is their first meeting up against the Bears. So, I don't know. I mean, they pounded the Jaguars, but that was a rout. That was a rout, too. That was a rough one to watch. That was 35-7. I remember that game. I was like, ugh, this one's ugly. I just don't know. I don't know. I mean, they beat Carolina, but Carolina was giving them a hard way to go. And they're 8-9. I mean, now. But they were 8-8 when they walked into that. So, who's to say? I guess it depends on which version of the Rams shows up this Sunday. And I hope it's the one that just barely beat the Panthers. Because if that's the case, the Bears stand a really good chance to win this one. If I were going to, I mean, obviously I want my Chicago Bears to win because I love them, but I would put this at like a 55-45 split. And like about 10 of those points are me leaning on Chicago because they're my favorite team. Like, I don't know. I really hope that I'm right about this and that Chicago wins, but this is going to be a real tough one. I just want you to know, I'll be watching this game through my fingers, hands over my face the entire time, or I'll not watch the game because I feel like I'm the jinx on my team. Every time I watch a game, dude, they start losing. As soon as I turn it off, they turn into literally the monsters of the Midway and then just turn around and win. It's like, maybe I should just stop watching the games. I had this thing with the Chicago Bears for years, though. Seems like every time I turn on a Bears game, I end up watching them just lose. I'm like, stop doing that. Just wish you would stop because it makes me feel like I can't watch my team. But, you know, I mean, congratulations to Chicago. Let's hope the good times keep on rolling. And we'll see. We'll see what happens this coming weekend. Yeah, man. There's some good stuff coming down the pipe. There's some weird stuff I was thinking about, too. I've been hearing a lot of funny insults lately just from people like on social media and whatnot. And I was in the shower and I thought of something the other day. And I don't remember exactly what triggered it. I know part of it was seeing somebody with like gauged ears. And now, if you don't know what that is, that's when you see somebody in their ear. I mean, most of you I would imagine would know. You see somebody with their earlobe and it's got this large hoop in it that's widened the earlobe out really far. And I was thinking about that and I was thinking, because I have earrings as well. And I have, you know, you gotta, you know, wash and clean and care for them and whatnot. And I remember like when my siblings were little, and especially my sisters especially, you have to maintain those earrings, man. You gotta make sure you pull them out and you wash them off, you know, rinse them in some hydrogen peroxide and you gotta wash the back of them ears. And I remember like sometimes you'd take an earring off of somebody that hadn't bothered to wash it for a while, and you'd be like, ooh, what the fuck is that? And I'm like, you know, what else smells like? Like, and then I thought of like the funniest thing is like I thought about it and I'm like, this is actually true. It was weird that I thought about it, but I was like, I have known over my life many people with gauged earrings, and like more than a handful of them, you walk up to them, give them a hug or whatever, you're like, oh, what is that? And the smell I can only describe as like earring backs and belly button lint. Just, there's something about, and I'm, it's not everybody, but I'm telling you, most of the time I've met people with those gauged ears, it smells like that. And I don't know why. And I've never been able to figure out what it is that makes them not be able to smell it. Maybe it's because it's so close to your face, you can't. But I've been next to somebody, I'm like, why are my eyebrows sweating? Like, what the fuck is that? Why do you smell like that? It's so weird. And when I thought about earring backs and belly button lint as a insult, I laughed so hard I almost fell in the shower. I don't know why, it just struck me as so singularly funny, but that was the first thing I thought. You got a good insult like that for somebody, you know, because I'm always super sensitive to like people's breath and body odor and stuff like that. Just, ugh. Major, major turnoff for me. And I don't even like my, if I'm a little pungent, I'll make sure I go and get a shower. I can't smell you. I'm like, I can smell me, which is staggering that other people cannot smell their own breath or body odor. Like, if I'm like, man, your breath is kicking like a karate movie. Like, go do something with that. I can taste when my breath isn't in fresh. I'm like, ugh, how do people just not know? I don't understand. I really want like a scientific explanation for that shit. Yeah, it bothers me. I mean, because I take a shower at least once a day. Although lately I've been having to take showers like twice a day. Here's something that's really funky. I'm having like a couple of nights where I would just like be super hot. And I wake up in the middle of the night just pouring sweat. I'm like, what in the fuck? Not because I'm a nightmare. You know what I mean? Not because I'm drunk or anything like that. Like sometimes people go to sleep drunk. They wake up and they're just sweating all over the place. Nah. Just a regular ass night, nothing crazy going on. Eat healthy, drink some, you know, apple juice and water or something before I go to bed. Wake up just pouring sweat. This shit happened just the other night. And I was like literally just the night before last. I'm like, what in the fuck is happening? And I was laying down last night and I look up and I'm like, why is it so hot in here? I went to go and look and the heater, now here's the thing. Our heater is set to like go to a certain temperature while you're sleeping, right? I don't know how this happened. Somehow it got switched to the away setting. And I guess maybe the away setting's never really used. But once it goes down to a certain temperature, the heater's supposed to kick on, right? Well, I guess maybe this thing is broken. When you're away, it's set for like 68 degrees. So if it gets below 68, it'll start to heat up, which is just enough to keep it. So if the cat's here by herself, she's not going to freeze to death. Or if we're all gone for whatever reason, you know, it's crazily uncomfortable to walk back into the house and get it warm again. You know what I mean? Average temperature in the house is usually between like 72 to 74. That's about as high as it can really, any higher than 74, then I have to sit around in t-shirts and a pair of shorts because it's just way too hot. So yeah, I'm laying down and I woke up and I'm like, what the fuck is happening? I've got sweat pouring down my back. I had a pool of sweat on my chest. I'm like, belly button lint, like a pool of sweat in my navel. I'm like, that is fucking gross. I get up and I go and look at the heater. It is running up 74. It's going up to 75 degrees. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. You have got to be shitting me right now. Because ordinarily when we go to sleep, it's set to 70 degrees. If it goes below 70 degrees, it will heat back up. And we haven't really had very cold weather until just the last day or so. It's like maybe a couple of handful of days when it's been like really cold at night. And by cold, I mean below like 55, 60 degrees. That's what I'm going to call cold for Florida, right? And then recently it's been down to like the low 40s. So like, yeah, you want it to stay warm. You don't want it to wake up and it's like 43 degrees in your house. You know what I mean? But 75 is crazy. It is crazy to be that hot in a time where you have, you know, HVAC controls and, you know, insulation, so to speak, and, you know, modern housing. Like, that is bananas for it to be that hot. So I went and turned it down. And, like, for some reason, I think our mattress also holds a lot of heat. I throw off a lot of heat when I sleep. So that's not new. That's not news to me at all. But the fact that I was basically making my own fucking gravy in my bed was horrifying to me. Like, this cannot continue to happen. There are a handful of companies out there that make sheets and clothing and stuff like that, like out of micromodal. It's like a fabric that's made out of, I think it's like beech wood fiber or something like that. Some of them are made out of bamboo fiber, but they have like a lighter weave to them, so they'll keep you warm. They'll keep they'll keep you warm, but they won't let you get overheated. Like, heat can kind of dissipate through the sheets, so you're not sweating your ass off at night. I gotta look for some of those sheets, man, because like these heavy thread count sheets, they feel great when you touch them and stuff like that. But then when you're laying on top of them, it's like laying on top of a fucking oven rack. Like, I'm just sitting there cooking. I'm like, I can't do this. I'm gonna die. Wake up dehydrated every morning because I'm sweating so much. I wash my sheets like twice a week because it's like just pouring sweat through them. Ugh. If you got any recommendations, hit the Patreon. I would love to hear what you've got. I sleep hot all the time. And like I said, until we can find a way to put ceiling fans in here that's not going to cost us an arm and a leg, I'm just going to be hot all the fucking time. And I hate running the AC and everything like that. I'd rather run the AC and the heater a little bit, you know, a little bit thinner, you know, margins. So I don't have to run them as high for as long with the fan circulating the air, especially in our living room and our bedroom, because they're such larger rooms. To heat and cool them requires a lot more effort from the HVAC. So I'd like to be able to do that, those fans at some point. But if you got ideas for like, you know, like those micromodal or a bamboo style sheets, blankets, comforters, you know, even just like, you know, little, we have little throw blankets and stuff that we sit on the couch with when we're watching TV or whatever. If you got recommendations for that kind of stuff, hit me up. I'd love to hear about them. You know, shit, maybe if I like them enough, one of them will sponsor the place. Yeah, that'd be great if somebody sponsored the podcast just because they heard about it. I'm like, hey man, if you like these things, you talk about them, I'll do a minute long ad read just for that. Especially if they work. You damn right I will. Anyway, crazy. When we're talking about products and stuff, somebody put up a link for Paris Hilton has like a knife collection, like a knife block that she's advertising. Bro, I just want you to know right now, if you're buying knives because Paris Hilton advertised them, you're doing it wrong and you're going to lose a finger. Like, these are the worst knives I've ever seen in my life. I've seen people make knives, you know, out of like tin cans and shit. Like, yeah, a prison shank is a more effective tool for cutting vegetables than Paris Hilton's knives. There's no tang to it. It's like just basically like a blade stuck on a flimsy silicone handle. And the blade can just pop right out of the handle. So you could be cutting a one and a two and a shoo, there goes the blade. They're so shit. And she has the audacity to sell them for like $100 for like $8. The reason they're being so, she shouldn't even be selling them. She should be giving them away, you know, to people she hates because they're going to lose fingers from them. But like the idea of buying a fucking $100 knife set because it has Paris Hilton on it and it's pink on the handle, I could make you a better knife. I could make you a better knife. It's a low quality bullshit, you know what I mean? It's like the difference between her knives and like a knife that you would get at a grocery store is like the difference between like Fredericks Hollywood and Victoria's Secret, right? Or Lover's Lane and Victoria's Secret. Like, or, you know, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and RC Cola. I know some people are huge fans of RC Cola. It's decided, I don't like cola, period. But like of the three, it's seriously Coke, Pepsi, RC. That's the hierarchy. I don't make the rules. That's just what it is. Pepsi is basically syrup. And actually, RC is probably better than Pepsi because at least the carbonation in it makes it taste a little closer to Coke. But good God. Fredericksville, Hollywood. Where the fuck did that come? You know why? Because I used to work at Lover's Lane and then I'd get catalogs from my old apartment for Fredericks of Hollywood because my ex-girlfriend had Fredericks of Hollywood stuff. Do they exist anymore? I'm not going to Google that shit right now. I remember Fredericks of Hollywood as a hilarious catalog, though. That'd be the kind of thing that when I was young and single, I would leave that on my counter, like, or on my, like, you know, coffee table. It'd be like, you know, GQ, FHM, Maxim, and a Fredericks of Hollywood catalog and a couple gaming magazines. Like, where did this come from? Like, oh, man, I meant to throw that away. My ex left that here. Oh, take a look. Okay. Weird that you'd want to see that, but all right. But it worked. I don't know why chicks dug that kind of thing. It's weird. Oh, we had good news. We had great news. Well, this isn't great news. My Xbox Game Pass subscription is going to end this week. So the fetters are coming off. The only downside to this is once this goes away, it means that our game share ability, I think, is gone. So I'm going to lose access to quite a few games. But I don't know, man. I can't justify paying that much money for fucking Game Pass Ultimate. I think their regular border, like their basic Game Pass is like $10 a month. But even still, it feels like if I'm paying them that much money at all, because they screwed everybody so bad, like I'm being part of the problem. So I'm going to start moving. This week is going to be the last week I'm pretty much going to stream games from Xbox because most of them are going to go bye-bye. But I'll be doing a lot more Nintendo stuff in the upcoming weeks. And I might even look into getting one of those Steam boxes at some point. I know everybody's saying get a PC. But I'm like, you know, I don't know. What do you guys think? The only downside to getting a PC would really just be moving all my shit from my laptop over to the new PC. And then I just have a laptop that would just basically be a backup for whatever. But if I got a Steam box, then I wouldn't be able to actually use the expanded functionality of the PC. But then the other thing is if I get a PC, then I'm using it for PC gaming. Now I've got to run extra, you know, processing power through that to run the stream and to run the games. You know, it's a whole thing. I'm pretty sure I could build a PC where it's like running parallel systems and not running off of the same, you know, CPU or whatever, same power supply. I mean, it would be a very expensive PC, but I mean, there's probably a way that I could split it. So it would be like it could split the interior infrastructure or whatever. I don't know what I'm saying because I'm not a computer science major or anything like that, but like there's got to be a way to build siloed, partitioned, you know, application specific, like a PC that has that kind of capacity. I just have to figure out how to do it and read some more articles and stuff about it, but I don't know. Anyway, since the Switch is coming up, the new Animal Crossing update is here. The Animal Crossing 3.0 update has arrived. And Yeah, I might have to check that out today and tomorrow, or today and Friday, because that is a thing, and I'm pretty stoked. It would be really cool to see how that comes down. We were all really excited for it in the first place, so I guess we just got to go and check it out. Let's check it out, man. Check it out. Where the fuck did it go? There was a notice somebody dropped about it earlier, and I don't know which channel it was in. But I can't find it anymore. It was in my Discord. But guess I just missed that one then. Oh well, we'll figure it out later. I'll figure it out at some point. But the new update is coming, and there's some expanded functionality. More players can be available on your island at one time. A larger, basically, storage capacity, new items, new events. It looks like it's going to be lots of fun. And for anybody who remembers Animal Crossing when it first came and hit the Nintendo Switch and just kind of took over like everybody's lives through the pandemic, we were very fortunate to be able to have a Nintendo Switch and to be able to access that gameplay and have built a little fun community around it too, which was really great. So I'm looking forward to going back and checking it out. That looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. Which is only the only downside, I think, for this Xbox thing, really, is I dug back into Baldur's Gate 3 and it's been making me so happy and crazy at the same time. I've been really enjoying playing Baldur's Gate. I loved it when I first got into it. And I think having a little bit of extra time removed from playing it every single day or whatever, or playing it on a consistent basis, has kind of made me fall back in love with the game a little bit more. Now, I will say, I wanted to choke Larian for putting that stupid-ass extra save file shit in there. And also, I hate the fact that it would not run off of my gigantic 2-terabyte SSD card. The bullshit that Seagate and Xbox told us, like, this is the way you want to play your games. So instead of running everything off of my 1-terabyte internal drive, I was putting things on my 2-terabyte external drive. Still had over half the card empty, so I had plenty of storage space. But the reading of that data from the card to the Xbox was causing the game to crash all the fucking time. Deleted this one, it was like a 120 gig or 150 gig reserved space that the game eats up for mods, which I don't use and I never have. And also should, by the way, be elective. It shouldn't just be shoehorned in with the game, but I digress. But by installing it to my Xbox's internal hard drive, game runs perfectly smooth. And I'm having a great time playing it again. I remembered why I liked the game so much. But the only downside is that my wife and I game share that game. So once Friday hits, that game is gone from my library. But I mean, I'm going to have fun with it while I can. So I'm going to play some of it today, which is, like I said, this is Wednesday, January 14th, 2026. So you'll be seeing me play some Baldur's Gate today because I wasn't going to not play it. And then I'll probably switch over to the Nintendo and play a little Animal Crossing, whatnot. We'll see how the day goes. And then more good news. Hard Boiled, the classic film by John Woo, starring Chow Yun-fat and Anthony Leung, is coming to theaters, select theaters, at the end of this month. I think the run said it's going to run from the 25th, 26th, and 28th of January. It's like a weird kind of staggered run, but it's coming to select theaters, been remastered in 4K, and the trailer I saw looks great, so I'm going to include that in the notes for this podcast. So if you're curious, you want to see it, give it a click and let me know what you think. If you've ever watched any John Woo films at all, you can see how they've influenced, you know, action movies over the generations, right? Pretty much every action movie that's come along since John Woo's been making films owes its overall look and aesthetic to John Woo in some way, shape, or form. Even the incredibly terrible Mission Impossible 2, which we will not talk about much, but we will acknowledge that it did exist. The motorcycle tail whip and the doves, that's all we're going to say about that. Anyway, Hard Boiled, genuine classic, Chow Yun-fat, really helped cement him as an action star, as Inspector Tequila. And here's going to be a little bit of telling tales outside of school. I've never seen it. Yeah, I've wanted to see it for years. I think when I first got the ability to watch R-rated movies by myself as an adult, well, as a teenager, was the year before I went to, like, the summer before I went to college, and I had, like, a little video membership. And, you know, my father was always gone on trips. My mom and my sisters had moved up, my baby brother moved up to Chicago. And my father would leave me a couple $100 every week to make sure I put gas in the car, kept maintaining of that shit, put food in there. Then I had a little bit of fuck around money. And so every now and again, I would just go to the video store, rent out like 3 or 4 videos that I'd never watched, and I'd watch those. And of all the movies I had watched during that time period, Hard Boiled was one of them I meant to watch, but I never saw. And so here I am, going to be 47 years old, and I haven't seen Hard Boiled not once. So I'm very excited to watch it in theaters, and I'm very excited that it's being remastered in 4K, which means eventually I might be able to get my hands on a Blu-ray of this movie. And just build up a whole cool John Woo, like, just basically, like, martial arts and, like, you know, wuxia and, like, Hong Kong action cinema library of DVD and VHS, you know, films that I can have and hold. And maybe even, like, you know, find a way to write them, some of them, to, like, hard drives so that if a disc gets damaged, I can reproduce it, you know, somehow legally. I don't know how you would do that. I know nothing about that kind of thing. But there's got to be a way to digitally back that shit up, right? Like, if I bought it on... Well, they did that with Ultraviolet, and then Ultraviolet just ended up going away, and that meant that everybody who had a digital copy of something via Ultraviolet lost that shit, too. Kind of like how Crunchyroll fucked over Fandimation. Am I right? But yeah. Oh! Some of you know that I have a very, as a former musician and an artist, I have a very strong opinion about generative AI being used to create quote unquote art. It bothers me. I don't like it. I don't care for it. And it steals from actual creative people. And it has far less soul and creativity than the actual people who would make that music. And that's largely been my case. And like some people like, well, I use it to like create a beat or whatever, this, that, and the other. Yeah. I get what you're saying. I don't know how to play this, that, the other. I get that too. There are tools out there though, that will let you replicate the sounds of instruments. And if you were going to do music in the first fucking place, it might not be a bad idea to learn how to incorporate those tools into your toolkit so that you can be a creator as opposed to letting an AI bot type in some stuff and then just make up a beat and then you hear lyrics over it. That's lazy work. And I don't like it. However, I will say that there have been some fun use cases for it that have been hilarious, even if I don't wholly agree with them. I just want people to stop using AI just for every fucking thing because it doesn't really help anybody. And it also culls your creativity too because you're not making anything. You just taught a robot how to do something better than you could. Try. Make an effort. Even if you fail, I'd rather hear your failed product than a robot cranking out some shit. But there are some things that made me laugh. Am I going to lie? And I don't know that the voices are necessarily AI generated, but I think like the music and the lyrics are kind of AI generated. And people actually, a human being sings the stuff. But I think what's the word I'm looking for? Like the actual sheet music is AI generated to resemble a certain sound of a song. And the lyrics are AI generated to kind of fit the meter of that sheet music. And then I think real people, I'm not sure how this works, but I think that's how it works. Then real people play real instruments and really sing over something that AI generated. That's kind of, in a weird way, it's kind of close to acceptable to me. I've heard too many people make AI songs with AI singers and AI instruments, and I don't like that. There's this one song, though, that I'm like, you guys are going to hate this shit. But it's a song called I Glued My Balls to My Butthole Again. And I would be lying if I didn't say that song makes me laugh like an absolute drooling idiot every time I hear it. And I'm like, yo. It makes me question, though, when I hear something else that's funny and, you know, outlandish. Did this person make this or is this an AI-driven thing? And in the spirit of that, I'm going to share something that I don't know is AI. I'm praying to God it isn't. And if it is, please forgive me. But it was funny because it made me laugh and it makes fun of Trump. So that's also a bonus. It's by a artist. That's all I can say because I don't know any more about them. Named Chelsea Gods. And it says, Trump sucks. And if you heard anything about the emails and the whole Bubba scandal, you got an idea of what kind of song you're getting into. Yeah, this one is definitely not for the kids. And if you have a sensitive palate, no pun intended here, I don't think you should digest this song. But it made me laugh, and I shouldn't laugh at it as much as I did, but I did. And I'm praying that it isn't AI, because if somebody just cooked this song up, more power to them. It is hilariously offensive, but it's also making fun of Trump, and that always makes me smile a little bit extra. So I will leave a link to that in the notes for this podcast as well. And with that, I had this thing. Somebody was like, how do you write a good joke? You have to have a good punch up and setup. And this dude was talking about something about how he's getting older. And then they're making fun of like Leonardo DiCaprio for dating like younger women. And I don't know where the whole, there was like something else about like how like middle-aged men get into destructive behavior. And that's why some of these, you know, these, especially when you see like, you know, middle-aged women, not really a lot of crazy scandal. They usually get all that wacky shit out of their brains in like, you know, their teens, 20s, whatever. They get to their 30s, 40s, 50s. They ain't trying to do all that wild shit. And I had this weird like premise behind it. It was like, you know, middle-aged men, you know, they get to be like, you know, in their 40s and 50s, they engage in destructive behaviors, you know, things that like kind of reinforce their waning vitality, right? Or kind of like reignite a flame, make them feel alive again, you know? Things like, you know, you see a lot of mixed martial arts or, you know, racquetball sports or, you know, rock climbing or car racing or college girls, just things that are dangerous for middle-aged men. And middle-aged women, on the other hand, have like a completely different outlook. You know what I mean? I've done all this wacky shit and I'm trying to settle down. I don't need all this crazy adventure. I just need something that's going to be, you know, something I can pick up and put down whenever I want to. Don't have to, you know, engage into it a lot. I can just kind of coast through the rest of my life and, you know, don't have to invest a lot into this. You know what I mean? Don't have to get super crazy with it. If I want to, I can, but more likely it's just kind of more of a disposable thing to me, you know? Like scrapbooking, you know, or joining a book club, or needlepoint, or college boys. So that was the end of that. That was the only thing I thought of. And it made me giggle because I was like, that's funny. To me, anyway. Anyway, if you got any funny, weird-ass jokes like that, I'd love to hear them. I love a good joke. But I also love you guys, and I appreciate you. Thank you for taking your time out to listen to the Wandering One podcast. This has been a doozy of an episode, a little bit longer than I had intended, but I think I needed to get this out there. Off my chest and out to you guys, I'd love to hear what you have to say. Again, check me out over at patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios if you want to leave a comment, question, or what have you. Again, like I said, sheet recommendations, got a good joke, got a great recipe, whatever, hit me up there. twitch.tv/linkib, that's link, linki, the letter I, BBE. And I do video game streaming over there. Probably going to try to add an art stream on the Saturdays if I'm able to. I need to get back into doing that more often, so let's see if we can keep me accountable to that. I'd love to hear you guys. Hit me up over on Blue Sky, you know where to meet me with all the links. I'm Link Flores. You guys have been awesome. This has been a Wandering One podcast, and I'll catch you ramblers a little further on down the road. Peace!